We're here on Daf Kuf Nun Hey Amud Aleph, and we're studying the Mishnah, which is approximately 15 lines down from the top. And the Mishnah is dealing with different methods of preparing animal food on Shabbos. Matirim Pkiei Amir, we're allowed to untie bundles, which are called Pkiein, of Amir, which is straw, Lifnei Abahema, before or in front of the animal, to make it noach, to make it comfortable for the animal to eat this straw. And this kind of a bundle of straw is also called kippin or zirin, which we'll see as we go through the Mishnah. But he can untie these bundles on Shabbos so the animal may eat easily. Umefasfasin, mefazrin, he's allowed to spread out es hakipin. That's the the kipin, which I guess when you give bundles to an animal, he scatters them first in order to render them more appetizing. So if they're packed together, they become warm, they fail to release a scent, and the animal finds them unpalatable. So now we're going to allow him to scatter these kippin so that there'll be a scent, and again the animal will have a taiva to eat them. Avalomafazrim es hazirin. So Gemara is going to explain the difference between kippin and zirin. Then the Mishnah says, ein maraskin, you're not allowed to cut up lo es hashachas. Shachas is always green grain that hasn't developed, it hasn't matured even one third of its maturation, and it's cut down for animal fodder. But to cut up the shachas, that's asur. And v'lo sacharuvin lifnei abehema, to cut up cherubs or caribs, to make them smaller for the animal. That also is, to make it easier for the animal to eat, that also is forbidden. Bein daka bein gas, it doesn't matter whether it's a small animal or a large animal, because we always divide animals into two categories. The large ones, bein magasa, like cattle, horses, donkeys, and mules. The small animals, bein madaka, that's sheep and goats. And this is a tircha that was not permitted on Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda Matir, Rabbi Yehuda allows to perhaps shred the cabbages or risuk becharuvim, but only for a behema daka, for the smaller animals, and that's called a shinui. And the teeth apparently of the smaller animals are very dako's, very relatively small, and without risuk, the animal simply will not be able to eat it. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda matis it. The Gemara quotes Rav Huna as far as Pekiei Amir and Kippin and Zirin. Hein hein Pekiein, hein hein Kippin. So basically, Pekiein and Kippin are two bundles of straw. Two bundles of straw. So what's the difference? Shepkiim trey and kippin tlosa. So in the case of Pekiim, he takes two ends and he ties them into a bundle. And it seems like the bundle is tied on both ends. B'shteak tzavos. But kippin are kshurim b'kesher shlishi b'emtza isa. So here not only does he tie the ends of the bundles, but he even ties the middle of the bundles. He adds an extra kesher over there. And that's called kippin. And what's zirin? Again, we're talking about bundles. The arze, which he says are anofim lachim. We're talking about soft branches. Sheniktitzu me eitz erez, that are cut down from an erez tree, which I believe is a cedar tree, and that's called zirin. Okay, and v'hachi kamer. Now we can understand the Mishnah. Matirin p'kiei amir. So you have these doubly bound bundles of straw, and that you're allowed to scatter. Lifnei abehima, to make it feasible for the animal to eat the straw. And then with phosphosin, you're allowed to scatter the straw in order to get that smell that would arouse the appetite of the animal. So that too is permissible. We're talking about from the cedar tree that we mentioned before. And then v'hu adin lekipin, which we said were those bundles that are tied with three different knots, and you're allowed to be matir and take apart these bundles of straw, and you're allowed to spread them out in front of the animal, even though relatively there's more tircha, you're upping the element of tircha. And the reason for this is because Hakash Gabioso Kashur, the straw, even when it's tied in these bundles, Minastam Miyuad Lamaichal Behemah, we assume that it was designated for the animal's fodder, and you're allowed to be Toreach on Shabbos with Michael Behemah in order to make it tasty and in order to make sure that the animal eats. But what is forbidden? Avalois Azirin. So again, we're talking about those branches of the cedar tree, which are moist, lola phosphase velola hatir. You're not allowed to spread them out, and you're not allowed to untie the bundles, because these are not minastam omeid lemaichel behema. And therefore, when you take it apart or you spread them out, it's considered that he's being misakin or some l'shabbos l'achila v'asur. Okay, so in this case of zirin, which are triply bound, as we said before, so you're not allowed to, number one, scatter them, and number two, you're not allowed to untie them. And all this is according to Rabbi Yehuda. So you can untie, you could untie both kinds of bundles of straw, but you're not allowed to scatter either of them. One may untie and scatter bundles of cedar boughs, and what we have here is the following. Our Mishnah records a machlokas between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda. Right, the Tanakama says, Avoloes Hazirin. And now we're saying that Avoloes Hazirin means Lola Fasfes Lola Hatir. And we identified Zirin. Go back to the definition of zirin. We said were chavilos di arzi, and so these are the soft branches that were cut down from the cedar tree, and they're moist, and they're ruyim lemaichel behema. But most people would dry them, and then they would dedicate them for hasaka, as fuel. So if that be the case, it's not really designated up front for animal consumption, although if you dry them then you could, I'm sorry, that as long as they're moist, you could use them for Michael Behema. And it would seem that the reason why we're going to be machmir in the Tanakama's frame of reference on Zirin, not allowing you neither to untie them or to scatter them, is because they're not omid l'maichel behema. You know, he's waiting for them to dry and use them as fuel for his fire. And that's why we assume that if he takes apart these chavilos and spreads them out, then it's considered that he's doing like a new tikkun, so to speak, for achila, something that wasn't designated for achila. That's what I have over here. So that's the Shita Rav Huna, which Rav Chizkiya is now coming to explain, that when you're talking about zirin, which we said are these moist branches that were cut down from a cedar tree, that's asur, whether it means to untie the bundles or to scatter them around. My time of the Rav Chuna, the kosover lemitrach bi uchla tarchinon, but lashvuye uchla lomashvinon. So if you have something that's an ochel, like in the case of straw, then you're allowed to do this tircha, because what you're doing is basically you're taking animal food and making it appealing, you're improving it, so to speak, as food for the animal, but you're not creating some new food that didn't exist. Masha Enkein, in the case of Zirin, where he's creating a new food, because as we said before, these branches were originally designated for fuel. So he's making it into a food, and that he's not allowed to do. And if he unties and scatters these cedar anofim, these boughs, for an animal, he's thereby converting it into a food. Rav Huna holds that to take a non-food substance and make it into a food is prohibited on Shabbos. He can only enhance something that's already a food. So therefore, even if there's exertion and tircha, like for example in the case of the two knots of pekin or the three knots of kippin, he's not only allowed to untie these knots, but he's even allowed to scatter them as well. And now we get to Rabbi Yehuda. I'm sorry, I jumped the gun and I mentioned Rabbi Yehuda earlier. Now Rabbi Yehuda says, "Hein hein pekiyim." Oh, so one second. This is not. We're not yet ready for Rabbi Yehuda. My mistake. We're talking about Rav Yehuda. Okay, that's the Amor Rav Yehuda. Then he's interpreting the Mishnah, and he says, "Hein hein pekiyim, hein hein zirin." Kien trey, keeping. Oh, zirin is tlosa. Right, we had before that kien is trey and keeping is tlosa. Now he's saying that kien is trey, and then instead of keeping tlosa, he's got zirin tlosa. And Zirin have three ksharim, right? Three, they're bound three times. So what's keeping then? Keeping the arze. So keeping are those anofim that we said come from the cedar tree and they're moist. Hachi kamer. Now, how is Rav Yehuda interpreting the Mishnah? Matirin pkiye amir lifnei behema aval. Fasfuse lo. you're allowed to untie pekin, which have two ksharim, and you can loosen those knots of those bundles of straw in front of the animal, but he's not allowed to scatter them. For keeping, in the case of keeping, which he identified as keeping the arzi, is fisfuse nami mefasfisinon, that not only are you allowed to untie these bundles, but you're even allowed to scatter them. Avalo hazirin lefasfes el lahatir. But with regard to zirin, which we said have three knots to them, three ksharim, is we're not going to allow scattering. Elahatir. The only thing we're going to allow is to untie these triple bound bundles of straw. So it comes out according to Rabbi Yehuda that both bundles of straw, where they have two ties or three ties, you're allowed to untie them. But you're not allowed to scatter either of them. That's what he says, that lefasfes is osur, only lahatir is mutter. Now, as far as untying, we said that with regard to straw, you're allowed to untie both categories of bundles of straw. In both cases of straw, you're not allowed to scatter them. But then we get to the case of what's it called? Kippin, which Rav Yehuda identifies as those branches of the cedar, and here Rav Yehuda's mekil, and he allows both untying and scattering these bundles of cedar anofim. Omar Rav, to explain the interpretation of the shita of Rav Yehuda, he says, "My time with Rav Yehuda kasavar shivuye ochlin mashvinon." You're allowed on Shabbos to take something that's not designated as a food and make it into a food, but mitrach bi uchlo lo tarchinon. But if you have food and you want to exert yourself just simply for the enhancement of animal food, that's usur. Now let's just think about the case of keeping, according to Rav Yehuda. No, I'm sorry, let's talk about zirin. Let's talk about kippin. Right, kippin we said was the branches from the cedar, and you're going to untie them and you're going to scatter them. So I understand that the shvuye ochlin mashvinon, but what happens to the element of tirche? I don't assume that there's less tirche here in this case. So again, the animals cannot eat bundles of straw when they're tied up, and therefore you have to untie these bundles as a necessary precondition to make these items edible for the animal. Okay, so that's permissible. Otherwise the animal is going to go hungry. Now, when you want to scatter them, that's only for the purpose of making it more palatable, to enhance the smell and the taste of the food. That's already unnecessary tirch on behalf of an animal. On the other hand, the animal will not eat the branches of the cedar tree at all, unless they're scattered. So scattering, in that case of the cedar boughs, is not a matter of making it more enhanced, but rather making it possible for the animal to eat. So according to Rav Yehuda, anything that's necessary to make the animal eat, you know, it's a precondition, that's mutter. So again, let's go back to Rav Huna for a minute. Rav Huna forbids making a food. He permits exerting oneself to enhance a food. Rav Yehuda permits making a food, meaning that which is absolutely critical to make it a food is fine. But he prohibits exerting oneself simply to enhance a food. Now it's interesting that when we talk about Lashvuye Ochla, for Rav Huna, it means, in the case of, let's say, the cedar boughs that are used for fuel, that's a non-food item, and you want to upgrade its status to that of a food by untying it and scattering in front of an animal. Rav Yehuda, when he makes use of the same term of Shvuye Ochla, he's talking about any basic preparation that is absolutely necessary to make the food edible for the animal, you know, in contrast to enhancing the food. So based on Rav Yehuda's definition, if you untie bundles of straw, so that qualifies as making food because the straw is inedible as long as it's tied up. I mean, from Rav Huna's definition, that's not called making a food because, you know, the straw is animal food even before it was untied. So although Rav Huna forbids making food and Rav Yehuda permits it, they are both in agreement that one may untie bundles of straw, either because Rav Huna says you're allowed to enhance the food, or according to Rav Yehuda, because you're allowed to make it into a food and there's no way the animal could eat it as long as it's bundled up. So now the Gemara has a kasha on Rav Huna, Tnan, from our mission. It says, Ein meraskim es hashachas v'esacharuvin lifnei behema. So you're not allowed to crush this fodder, meaning that premature, the green grains that we spoke about, or carobs in front of an animal. And a man is not bein daka bein gasa. My love, charuvin dumya de shachas. Right, the Mishnah speaks about charuvin and shachas in one breath. Ma shachas dirakive, dirakiche. So we're talking about shachas, which is relatively soft. Af charuvin dirakiche. So the carobs also are soft, and they're moist, and they're already suitable for animal food. And yet, the Mishnah says, Ein meraskin. And we want to enhance the animal food, right, by doing this risuk, and the Mishnah prohibits it. Alma lo tarchina biuchla. So if we're just simply enhancing the animal food by doing this risuk and making it more, you know, smaller pieces, then that's prohibited al tircha, even though it's already an ochel. And we said that according to Rav Huna, you can do whatever you have to do to enhance animal food. Amalcha Rav Huna, Rav Huna in defense will say, lo shachas dumya de charuvin. Let's go the other way around. The shachas case should be equated with the charuvim. Ma charuvim da kushe, you know, a classic situation of carobs, you know, we call boxer, that they're hard, they're dry and hard, is af shachas da kushe. So this case of what we call green grains is also a case of hard. And it's hard for the animal to eat them. You're going to have to soften them up. So, hechi mishkachas lei, what do you find you know, this case of green grain of fodder that's too hard for animal consumption, be'ilei zutre. Now, if you have young donkeys, apparently they can't eat regular fodder, because regular fodder for them is too hard. So you must have risuk in order to transform them into food, because they're not edible at this point. And if they're not edible, Rav Huna prohibits it. I'm just trying to figure out what he would do with charuvim. Ah, maraskim. So in other words, right now, we're talking about a case where you have to transform it into a food. Not the way the Gemara understood it initially, that they're moist and they're already suitable for animal food, but you just want to make it into small pieces and enhance them. Now the Gemara is saying, no, they're very tough, they're hard, and right now they're not edible, and it's not animal food. You want to transform it into food by doing this risuk, and that you're not allowed to do, according to Rav Huna. Tashma. Now we're going to reject Rav Huna from the next part of the Mishnah. Rav Yehuda matir b'charuvin l'daka. Rabbi Yehuda is going to allow you to chop up these charuvim for a small animal, ledaka in legasolo, but not for a larger animal. If we hold like Rabbi Yehuda, that Tanakama sovar mitrach bi uchlo lo tarchinon, that we don't exert ourselves to enhance food, that it is food, but shavyud mashvinon, but to make food edible, that we're allowed to do. Hayu tekomer Rav Yehuda. Now we understand Rav Yehuda's comment that acharuvim ledaka, that chopping up these caribs for a small animal is nami, that's mutter. Why? Because shavuye ochlahu. So he's really adding to the chachamim. In other words, I think what this means is that Rabbi Yehuda heard the Tanakhama that it's prohibited to enhance existing food, and therefore to shred these soft caribs is prohibited because you're just enhancing, but it's permissible to make food edible. And Rabbi Yehuda responds, there's no reason then to prohibit the shredding of caribs for small animals, because even though the caribs are soft, then it's merely making the food edible. You're making it edible, and therefore it should be mutter in the case of small animals. So that's what he says. Acharuvim ledaka is ashvuye ochla. He's making it into a food for this smaller animal. Eli, if you can say like Rav Huna, is Tanakama sovar shavuye ochla lo mashvinon. The Tanakama holds that you cannot make food. You can only do a tircha for improving food. Is mitrach beuchlan tarchinon? Is Rabbi Yehuda demate becharuvin ledaka? Now let's make sense out of the fact that Rabbi Yehuda allows you to chop up these caribs for a small animal. He's implying that only for a small animal you're allowed to do this, but not for a large animal. Now, if Rabbi Yehuda's point is that, chopping up these hard caribs is just an enhancement, is kolshkein bedaka, then how much more so kolshkein, he should be mate legasa, because risuk for agasa is certainly simply enhancement of the ochel. So the Mishnah should have really said, Rabbi Yehuda matir b'charuvim legasa, and that would be a heter for tircha b'ochel of a pre-existing food, which he's enhancing, and he's allowed to do so. So Gemara answers, mi savris daka daka mamish. When Rabbi Yehuda uses the term daka, he means daka mamish, the classic understanding of a smaller animal. No, that's not so. My daka gasa. Umay korile daka. Why does he call it a daka? De doika ba'uchla. Which means that it's like a behemoth daka in one sense. It chews up its food very well. And lo eses heitev es ha'ochel umadika oso. So Gemara asks, "Hamidik tani reisha." In the reisha of the Mishnah in the Tanakam, it says, "Ein maraskim bein daka bein gasa." And here, it's understood that the intention of the Mishnah is to differentiate between a behema daka and a behema gasa. Michlal de Rabbi Yehuda, when he argues, Rabbi Yehuda in the Sefer on the Tanakam, he's talking about daka means daka mamish, kamar kasha. So this remains a kasha on Rav Huna. Now the Gemara asks a kasha on Rav Yehuda from a later Mishnah. Toshma mechatchim es hadluim. Here we're on Kuf Nun Hei Amid Beis. We're talking about gourds that were already detached from the ground. Lifnei Abehema. Kidei shetochlem. And mechatchim es hanavela. Even the animal dropped dead today, we can take its carcass and chop it up lifnei klovin to feed it to the animals. And we're not going to prohibit this because of tircha shelo litzorech. My love, shouldn't we assume, dluin dumya de nevela, that when the Mishnah mentions dluim and nevela together, this should indicate that we're talking about dluim that are similar to nevela, ma nevela de rachicha. Right, the bosa nevela is usually soft. Af dluim derachicha. The dluim is also soft. That is considered an ochel. And yet the Mishnah is matir to chop them up for the behema. Alma tarchina ba'uchla. This is a kasha Rabbi Yehuda. Tiyufta Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that you're allowed to make an ochel, but you're not allowed to enhance it, because that's tircha that wasn't permitted on Shabbos. So you're being mashbiach ochel for the behema. So Gemara answers, Amalakha Rabbi Yehuda, lo. The Mishnah is not talking about dluim similar to nevela, just the opposite. Nevela dumya de dluim. Do it in the other direction. Ma dluim diashuni. Dluim are usually hard, and they're not even edible, they're not even an ochel. Af nevela de ashuna, meaning it's hard. So when the Tana was matir chopping them up and being metakim for behema, it's because of the tzara behema, meaning you're really making something into an edible. Behechem ish kachaslo, where do we find basa nevela that's so tough? The basa pile, wow, the meat, the flesh of a of an elephant. It's very difficult for the dogs to eat up this flesh. Inami bigirasa zutre. Or maybe we're talking about small dogs, little puppies, that even basa nevela is too hard for them to chew up without chituch. Now the Gemara is going to ask a kash on Rabbi Yehuda from a braisa. Toshma de toni Rav Chanan minarda mifarchinon. We are allowed to chop up tevin, straw, viaspasto, and shachas, even when the behema is going to eat them in their natural state without cutting them up. So nevertheless, even though chituk is only to enhance, yet we're allowed to do this. Uma arvin, and we can combine them together so the behema will eat both tevin and shachas. But alma, we see clearly, tarchinan ba'uchla. So we have food, like tevin and aspasta, which is certainly animal fodder that's edible for the animal, and yet we'd be matriach, we can do that extra tircha of chopping them up into smaller pieces. And that's against Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara answers, the Braisa is talking about tevin betivna saria. It's tevin saruach ktsas, and it has a bad smell. And if you don't do some sort of tikkun, the animal's not going to eat it. Or aspasta be'ilei zutri. Which he says that we're talking about a case of small donkeys who don't have the ability to chew up the shachas. And by cutting them up, you make it into an ochel. So that's called ashviya ochla, and that tirch is mutter, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, now this leads us to the Mishnah here on the top of Kuf Nun Hey Omid Beis. And the Mishnah is again dealing with different kinds of methods of preparing food for animals on Shabbos and trying to figure out determine what's mutter and what is us. So that will continue tomorrow. So we're here about 10 lines down on Kuf Nun Hey Amud Beis.